The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 159. John, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Oh, doing good. Had a week off. Excited to get back into the store. Lots going on. We've got tons of breaking news. Three books this week to talk about, plus everything else we read. And I am really excited to get in the wrong way, maybe. I can't wait to get to Real World and ask you or talk to you about something that not a fan.
Oh, okay.
But all right. It should be fun. We're going to have fun. So, all right. You ready to get in the store?
Yep.
All righty.
Oh, I was like, what happened?
Ooh, Merry Christmas.
Christmas comes this time each year.
Nothing says the holidays like the Beach Boys.
Yeah, it's 80 degrees here today.
Oh, well, then all right. So crank it up.
So, yeah.
Is it really?
It's 80.
Oh, man. Must be nice.
Yeah. It was cool last week. And by cool, I mean like
temperature-wise. 50s.
Yeah. But it's back up to the 80s now. So.
Doesn't that make it tough to get into the Christmas spirit?
It does, because
the snow melts.
Well, that, but you know, I'm realizing that looking at the calendar, that Christmas is only like 10 days away.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like it at all. It feels like it's, you know, still months because it's warm, and I haven't really done much to prepare for it. So.
Well, you got your hair cut, so you got to have that nice and short, yes. And especially for the 80s. That. Now, you've been down there for 30 years?
Yes.
Pretty much, right?
Yes, 30 years.
Isn't it usually warm at Christmas?
I mean, it is. There's years where it's cooler. But, I mean, all through December, it'll go up and down. I mean, it'll hit 70s and 80s and then drop into the 30s, you know.
Wow.
It's no different than any other year. It's hard, like you said, it's just hard to get into the season, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, it doesn't that mean, like, it's just, I don't know, like, you've been down there for 30 years. Isn't that just Christmas anyways? You know what I mean? Or do you still have that in your head from when you were a kid up here with the snow and Christmas and, you know what I mean?
I mean, I've spent more years in the warm than the cold at this point. I've been here 30 years, and even back there as a kid, it was every other summer and every other Christmas in Florida with my dad. So I've had a lot of warm Christmases. But it's the childhood memories and then the barrage of market. Like,
yeah,
anything that markets Christmas markets it as snow and white and cold. You know, commercials aren't showing people on the beach. You know, they're not showing, you know, nobody's got a bow on their brand new Escalade on the beach, you know.
Right. Exactly. It's all like trucks plowing through snow or, exactly. Yeah.
So it's what you're supposed to think Christmas is, even though, again, there's half the population or more of the world that have never seen snow or been in a cold Christmas.
Right, Yeah. It's amazing what marketing can do, huh?
I know. It is.
Oh, how's the store been going the last couple weeks?
It was actually pretty depressing until about 2 days ago.
Well, all right then.
it's been not great. Not a great December so far, but the last 3 days, well, Sunday, Monday, and today have really picked up. So fingers crossed for the next 10 days at least. Mm-hmm. But I have not been able to to kind of squirrel away as much this December as I usually am able to. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
That stinks.
Yep.
Well, we were off last week because I got the opportunity, because I bought the tickets. We gave the
job. I gave myself the opportunity.
Got the opportunity. But actually, we got VIP tickets to see Neil deGrasse Tyson up in the Hanover Theater in Worcester. And it just so happens, I guess, when he tours, he does dip. He actually, what he said in the show is he lets the place decide what he talks about. Yeah. So this one happened to be an astrophysicist goes to the movies. And he actually has a second one called The Astrophysicist Goes to the Movies, the sequel. And I'm hoping to be able to catch that one because this one was really, really good. And he actually, the one that would probably pertain to this show the most, he talked about Star Wars. And he said, you know, because he'll pick apart all the different all the things in the movies that shouldn't really be happening in space or the way things work and stuff. It was really interesting, funny, very entertaining. But the one about Star Wars, he goes, I'm not going to talk about that movie because there's really not much to talk about except the two sons. And he's like, and then he went in to explain how that's real. That can happen. And he was like, it does happen. And it's a very rare thing, I guess, kind of like having twins, right? And he said, it's because if the sons are close enough, you can get a planet, or you can get planets to orbit the two of them. Right. And otherwise they'd just be all screwed up and probably doing a figure eight or something stupid.
Right.
But it's like they're able to, if they're
it's night, it's day. I don't know what's going on.
Burning in the middle. but he did talk about Star Wars very, very briefly, but it was really good. I highly recommend it. Anybody gets a chance to see anything he talks about, really, because he's super. Oops. Excuse me. Oh, man. That wasn't good. Something just got stuck in my throat. Wow. That was, that hurt. Anyways, excuse me. Sorry about that, everybody. Yeah. I got tears in my eyes. Or Neil deGrasse Tyson. No, it's super entertaining. It's really funny. And it's all detailed stuff about just different things in movies and everything. And he said The Martian was one of the most accurate movies. And it's actually one of his favorite movies. But he did say that he goes, the only flaw, the biggest flaw in the movie was the beginning. None of that would have taken place in real life because he never would have been stranded because the reason they all had to leave in such a hurry is there was a 100-mile-an-hour windstorm coming and it was going to knock over the ship. And he said the wind has about 1/100th of the effect that it has on this planet. So a 100-mile-an-hour windstorm would be like a 1-mile-an-hour windstorm here. He goes, so that never would have happened.
Maybe it was a 10,000-mile-an-hour windstorm.
Yeah, that's, or 1,000, yeah. Or, yeah, 10,000, you're right, actually. Whatever it was. But, yes, it would have been, that's what I was thinking, too. But I'm like, maybe, and then I don't know. But, yeah, he really liked that because all of the stuff that he did have to do was legit. And, like, all of the issues that he had. They said it was legit. So, there were a whole bunch of things, but highly recommend checking him out. And he did, the last time he was in Worcester was 4 years ago, and he did an astrophysicist reads the paper. So he just go through the newspaper and talk about current events and stuff. So I'm sure people didn't want to hear that one right now. It's like, we're enough with current events.
I was going to say, I might have a new career.
Yeah.
A dumbass reads the paper.
Yeah, that was the backup name for this podcast, John.
A dumbass goes to the movies.
Two dumbasses.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun, Joe and I, that's what we gave Joe for his birthday, and then afterwards he did a, with the VIP, you were supposed to get a meet and greet, and when we bought the tickets, it was a meet and greet, after the show, and then because of COVID, they decided it'd be better just to do, for all the VIPs, it was stay behind, and he'll do a second part where he takes questions, and he talks to you a little bit more. And one of the things he told everybody, not supposed to say anything, but shh. No, but
we're all VIPs here, dude.
Exactly. You're right. One of the things is, so like the first few news clippings he shows you at the beginning are all feeling out clippings that to see how you react as a crowd. And then it would be like, then he would adjust his answers accordingly to things that were going to come up that day, because you don't want to offend anybody. And
touchy subjects.
Yeah. So a woman during the question and answer asked how we would do it. And he kind of, he explained it a little bit. But I think he was like, you could see that it's like, I can't tell you exactly because maybe you didn't react the way you should have. So I had to, you know, and it was like, oh, okay. So, but I get that, because I know Jay Leno does the same thing. They'll say a few things at the beginning, read the room. And then that's how they adjust, just so they're not offending people, because they play all over the country.
Well, Well, in any one given place, you're going to offend. Yeah, the audience is not the same.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I mean, you can have majority based on applause or response, but
you're still
ticking somebody off.
Oh, yeah.
in any audience you go to.
Yep. So. All right, you ready to get to some mailbag for this week?
Sure.
Okay, where is the mailbag? Man, why isn't it playing? Huh. Oh, I know why. Dum-dum. Because dummy here turned the volume down. Yeah, let's try that again. John, are you ready to get to some mailbag for this week? Well,
I was, but I'm not anymore.
There's the mailbag.
There we go.
That's the mailbag we have with the volume on it.
We can't fake that sound.
No.
That's really happening.
Yeah, this is all real. So let's see. First up this week, this comes from a couple weeks ago, right after our last podcast, Tom Bellows asked us, have you guys checked out Geiger? Really enjoyed the first three books. And I replied, I'm like, yeah, we both read it and we really liked it too. John, you finished it, right? I said, I think you finished it. I haven't gotten maybe only the last two I think I'm missing, but you want to give your opinion on that?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty good arc. You know, I think it was six issues for the first story arc, and there's definitely room, you know, for them to come back and do more. There is the 80-page giant or something that's coming out eventually. Don't know when at this point. It's been on FOC seven times, I think. But, you know, that'll have some more, you know, stories to expand on it. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it's a great book. At this point, the trade is out, so you can go pick that up at your local comic shop and get it all in one book for $10.
Yeah, it's a pretty quick read, too, if I remember right. Even when we were going through it, those books, you flew right through the books. Really good. Interesting story, too.
It was very.
He was saying that he goes, Geoff Johns rarely has a miss, and he loves Gary Frank's art. And I said, I know, I'm getting to know Geoff Johns, but I'm just learning, really don't know Gary Frank's. And he said, Frank's had a great run on the Hulk with Peter David in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, and he did Doomsday Clock with Johns as well.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Cool. All right. BJ Horton at Brightside_chat. All that chat about going full Griswold. Look what I got in the mail today. And he's got a copy of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, nice. So,
one of the best Christmas movies out there. It's neck and neck with Die Hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, one of these days I'll get you going. Theo, love the show. Thank you. More than welcome, Theo, as always. And Nick Wetmore, sold and sold, talking about Hiya TV. And it's at Hiya TV. It's HIYAH TV on Twitter. You can follow them. But it's a TV service about all the...
that was the Kung Fu movie service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you get that? Have you checked it out?
I haven't looked at it at all.
I haven't looked at it yet either, but I know you really like that stuff. So
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just haven't gotten to it.
Well, that's why I put it in here, to remind you of it.
I know, because I do forget things.
I have to introduce myself every time before we start the
show. I know. Who is this guy?
Yeah. Why do you keep bothering me on Tuesdays?
Why do you keep sending me emails to join a recording session?
Hey, you keep joining.
Well, I can't resist a link. You never know who might be on the other end.
Yeah. So. Week after week, you're disappointed.
Yeah, it's always the same guy.
It's the same guy. Sorry about that. I'll wear a wig. Nick also says, hey, Brightside Chat, love the latest episode. Was excited about the Paramount Plus Indiana Jones in 4K news. Do you know when that will be happening? I thought it already did, didn't it? Wasn't it already there?
Well, I haven't looked. I thought it was already there.
Pretty sure it's already there.
I haven't checked either.
I haven't checked since that day, and I just grabbed this and put it into the show. So I should have just gone and checked before we got on the show.
Before we started.
Hey, show prep, people.
Prep. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, did they do the same treatment to Young Indiana Jones Chronicles? And no, I don't believe they did. I know they didn't yet. We would have had news on that. That would have been pretty big news. But Paramount Plus is moving a little slower with their 4K stuff, but they are getting more and more. And HBO Max.
Well, they're moving faster than HBO Max. So.
Well, I think HBO Max will really step up next year, because I think right now what they're doing is, because they're doing the day and date, you know, release stuff, that's been their focus this year. And I think next year they'll start rolling more out, because if you noticed, it's almost been a day and date a month, and it's kind of the way they put, so you don't want to cancel. And now they'll start doing the, coming in March. I wouldn't be surprised if in 2022 on HBO Max you start seeing, coming in March, this will be coming in 4K with Dolby Atmos and blah, blah.
Right.
So that I would hope for. But Paramount Plus is always adding stuff too. So it's getting better for all of us.
Yeah.
And that will do it for Mailbag this week.
Okay.
What do we have next? We're up to news next, and we've got to cook, because we got a lot of news. I'm skating again tonight, and I'm going to have a discussion with you that may take a little bit, so we will see.
You know, you threatened me last show that we might fight, and then we didn't, so...
Oh, I don't think we're going to fight about this.
Don't get my hopes up if it's not going to happen, man.
You're coming out swinging and we agree.
Yeah.
We agree.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. You ready to get to breaking news then?
I am.
Let's do it. All right. First up.
Yeah. First, and this broke like kind of right after our last show.
let me hit it again. Breaking news, people. 2 weeks old.
2 weeks old. But this was completely unexpected and welcome news. Like, I had no idea this was happening. But it looks like Into the Spider-Verse 2 is going to be split into two movies. So it should air, like, you know, one year apart, just like the Lord of the Rings stuff.
Yeah. Is.
But yeah, it was too big. It's too big for one movie. And what makes it too big is the next news story. I'll just go right into it. it looks like we have Oscar Isaac is also joining the cast as Spider-Man 2099.
Did we have that a while ago in speculation? Because that doesn't feel new to me. I feel
I don't remember exactly, but we may have.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that the outtake of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse? They had a whole thing with Spider-Man 2099, looking back, if I remember right. Again, show prep. I should have checked this out on the Blu-ray. But if you watch the end credit scene, I'm pretty sure it's 2099 Spider-Man, and I thought it was voiced by Oscar Isaac. That's why it doesn't feel like news to me. And now they just solidified it, probably. So
yeah, maybe so. Maybe, but yeah, I'm that's wrong. Great. That's great.
Could have been a dream.
Could have been fever dream. I thought Into the Spider-Verse 1 was one of the best Spider-Man movies we've ever had.
Yeah.
And I really can't wait. For, you know, I've, the trailer for the first part is out, and it looks great. You know, we got Miles back, Gwen's back. You know, should be great. So,
oh, yeah,
really looking forward to it.
They're fantastic movies. And, I mean, it is probably the best Spider-Man movie so far. But then we have Thursday coming, so
we do. Yes, we do.
We'll see. Fingers
reviews
crossed.
So far are overwhelmingly positive. So we'll see.
Really,
I have heard that it's very over. That it's very stuffed, which we knew going into it because that was one of my. That's actually one of my fears for this movie is that they're trying to do too much with it.
Right,
but so far reviews have been positive.
Ugh. I'm this close to just getting off of Twitter, off of social media until Thursday, till after I see it, because I'm just so nervous I'm going to see something stupid,
right?
Or somebody stupid.
Somebody stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're on Twitter, you're seeing something stupid.
Like, yeah.
There's just no way around. There's
yeah, because
no
I'm there.
Yeah.
No.
I see my face reflecting back in the screen on my phone.
Then I turn the phone on, and that stupid thing fades away. Me. But. Yeah. So, but yeah, maybe this next news item will pay dividends on Thursday.
Well, so yeah, so this next news item is the prime example of the internet only seeing what it wants to see,
right?
and making wild assumptions.
I know.
Based on a statement. Kevin Feige said in an interview that if in quotation marks. If and when and or when Daredevil were to appear in the MCU, that it would be Charlie Cox playing Daredevil. This in no way confirms that Daredevil will ever appear in the MCU. This is just Kevin Feige saying that if it would happen, he would like Charlie Cox to play Daredevil. But if you read any of the million headlines that posted all over social media, Kevin Feige confirms Charlie Cox will return as Daredevil in the MCU, and that is not what happened.
Right.
But I feel like if he's putting that out there, it's at least being taught. Like, it probably is going to happen, but this was in no way a confirmation that Daredevil was going to be anywhere anytime soon. But it is nice to know that, you know, if they do plan to bring the character in, because I think bringing in Charlie Cox by extension brings in Vincent D'Onofrio, it probably brings back Deborah Ann Woll. You know, it probably brings back the rest of the supporting cast as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to bring him back and then recast those other characters.
Right.
So that's awesome. You know, I mean, we all want that, of course. We've talked about it ad nauseum for the last 2 years, but
yeah.
Yeah,
so,
we'll see.
Do you not think that he's going to be in Spider-Man? You don't think that was him?
I don't know.
That they showed?
I mean, it could be.
Yeah, I know like, it definitely, could like, be. I'm just
well,
saying
I,
your
I
gut.
Don't know.
Where do you,
no,
how
I
do you
don't
feel
know.
It in your gut?
I think it probably is just based on the amount of denials and comments that have been put out there. But I don't know. Like, there's so many things. Like, is Venom going to appear? I don't know.
You know? No, we don't know. But I'll be honest with you. I mean,
everybody in the world is rumored to be in this movie. Yeah. They can't all be there. So.
Not me. I haven't seen one rumor that I'm in it.
That's true.
So, or you.
Or
to
me.
Be fair, they didn't grab either of the Bright Side
You're
boys.
Right. You're right.
So, and we were both available.
I was. I was. Still am. Really.
Still am. Yeah, jam it in there.
Last minute ADR. Get me in there.
Yep. There you go. I'll tell you right now, I would be more excited. I will be more excited if Charlie Cox is in it that more than Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield.
Cut. I agree. I would too.
That's more exciting to me because, one, I think with everything that's going on in the universes right now, I don't think it's that big of a deal to grab those two and drop them into the movie, whatever it is. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting. But I think Charlie Cox and bringing that whole that entire storyline, that entire Netflix Marvel marriage, and putting that finally putting that into the MCU, I think that's a bigger deal to me.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's also, I mean, we can go on the quick tangent of Hawkeye, and they're already teasing, you know, maybe
Kingpin
there. But do we see D'Onofrio in that?
Right.
And who? That would be very interesting, if especially they know when one's dropping and the other, you know, maybe do we get D'Onofrio? Well, as you and I are talking right now, people might have already seen Hawkeye because it drops today as this podcast comes out. So who knows?
And there's only two left. Like, we're almost done.
I know.
We'll
talk about that in real world, but spoiler free. But it's a shame. It's so good.
I still think the more probable landing spot for Charlie Cox to appear would be She-Hulk.
Yeah, you're right.
But I don't, like I said, I don't rule it out for Spider-Man, but I think it makes sense for him to show up there too.
Well, they've shown in the trailers, which is kind of funny to me, that in the trailer they show, of all clips, they show Peter Parker like in the police station, almost like in the interrogation room or whatever, and a lawyer putting his hands down. It's like, you could have left that entire clip out. That's, who cares? Right. Like, how does that tease anything other than those forearms? And the fact, like I said, when I really went over the scene and I'm like, wait a minute, the reflection in the glass behind him is blurred away. It's taken out when there should be a person there. So I don't know. They're teasing it on purpose, and if it's not him, that'll be very... I'll actually be disappointed.
It'll be disappointing.
Oh, who is that guy? Some lawyer? That wouldn't even make sense at this point, so...
Yeah. I was going to say, a little bit of side She-Hulk news, too. I don't have this written down, but since it came up...
Yeah.
Tatiana Maslany went on record the other day saying that her transformation to She-Hulk is 100% CGI. So we kind of debated a little while back where I thought that it might be her. It's not. it's all CGI. Just putting that out there. It's not really news. That's why I didn't. I actually had it on my list of things to talk about, but I didn't really feel like it was that important. But since She-Hulk came,
that just shows how good CGI is getting, though.
Yeah,
you know,
because it looked like real person's calves. I mean, you know, it looked like legs. So
they weren't. They didn't have John Romita Jr. CGI it.
No, he didn't draw them. They weren't complete. Barrels.
My calves always look good when I drew calves. It's the feet that I always stunk at drawing. I hated drawing feet.
Feet are tough.
Well, it's tough. And like Mr. McPhee used to say, it's tough because it's also the end and you don't care. I'm just done with this project. And you're like, nah.
That's why it's all Rob Liefeld. Everything we draw just cuts off at the ankle.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I hated feet.
The feet are off panel, man. They're not important.
Why are your characters always walking in mud?
The feet are there. They're just off panel.
Yep. Exactly. So, all right. This next one.
Again, this is just confirmation of something we already pretty much knew. But it is now official that Colin Farrell is reprising his role as the Penguin for an HBO Max spinoff show about the Penguin. So,
all
for it.
A lot of like what I think they said on Garmin today, I'll make a different comment, but is Batman like the only character that gets shows without Batman in it?
Yeah, because we'll get to that at the last part of this too. But
I know,
there's a million Batman shows with no Batman. I don't know why that is, but
I
don't imagine he will appear in this show. There'll probably be a lot of talking about Batman doing things in the shadows. Like, it'll be referenced at times, I'm sure, but I don't think Batman will be showing up on this. Show to interact with Colin Farrell in any way. So,
and look, the one time they put him in the show, Titans, We didn't like it.
Yeah, I did not like it.
So maybe leaving them out is the best thing for the show.
Maybe so.
All right. Next up. Ooh.
Yeah, so Disney announced a Shang-Chi sequel movie, which I think was probably a given, but also a spin-off series for Disney Plus, which I think we hoped for. We speculated about that when we talked about the movie, possibly a Ten Rings series or something to do with his sister. We don't know what this show is going to be. They haven't said, but that's kind of what I would like to see.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, we know in most of these spin-off series, like Shang-Chi won't actually be part of it probably. So I don't know what else it would be if not the Ten Rings. You know, it kind of almost sister? Has to be. Well, right, but that's where she is, right? She's the head of the Ten Rings at this point.
So. Right. So you do that, and I mean, Shang-Chi has his own thing, just like they're doing now. And I mean, I know we wouldn't have much to talk about, but don't you feel like, are you getting to the point like me, like all of these announcements, it's like, can we just get it? I know it's not ready to go, but how I would take the
just
gap
tell me,
in
tell
time
me when it's, yeah, then, tell me when it's here.
Yeah. Next
hey,
week.
Next week.
Right. How cool would that be? And it's like, it's so much better when you, I guess you just have to go dark on everything and be like, ooh. Look,
well, but that's kind of how it was pre-internet, right? Like when you were a kid, like you didn't know a movie was coming until you saw a trailer for it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while you knew, I mean, you know, you knew they were making Return of the Jedi or, you know, we heard in 1979 that they were going to be working on a Batman movie that we got 10 years later.
Right.
But, you know, but for the most part, you went to see the trailers at the movies to see what was coming. You know,
yeah, true.
Or you know, you got the TV guide at the end of August to see what new shows were going to start in September because you didn't know.
Yeah,
you know, you didn't know these things, so
yeah, I know. And it's like there's so many announcements every week, and then you're just like, oh, I can't wait for that. And then it's like, what year is that? Oh, 2025.
It's like 3 years from now.
It's like,
and you know, again, we'll be filled with all the stuff from the announcements we got 2 years ago. So, like, we're still going to have plenty to keep us busy. But, I don't know.
It is nice to get a surprise every now and then. Like, I didn't even know this was coming. Look.
Right.
You know. And it's like, but, oh, well. And it is hard to keep stuff a secret, too.
It is. You know. In this day and age, there's really no such thing anymore.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I just don't think you can do it.
Right.
So.
All right. Next up. Another announcement.
This one I thought was really
cool.
This is
good. Yeah,
this is really cool. Paramount Plus has actually launched. This isn't even an announcement. I think it's already live. Several 24/7 like live channels that are going to focus on specific properties. So the two that they headlined right off the bat were Star Trek and SpongeBob SquarePants. So this is not on-demand content. Like, you can already go to Paramount Plus and pick any season of Star Trek and watch it from start to finish in chronological order. But what this is are actual channels, like your normal broadcast TV channels, that are going to be curated, and people can just turn on their TV and go to this channel and, like, at 7 o'clock, there may be a random episode of Star Trek, the original series, and then at 8 o'clock, there's a Discovery episode, and at 9 o'clock, there's the cartoon episode. Like, this is just going to be random every day.
Oh, that's
24/7.
Cool.
So, like, you could just turn on this channel, and you're just going to get something Star Trek every hour, but not in chronological order or anything. And so SpongeBob will be the same thing. And there's going to be several of these going with, you know, whatever their long running.
You mean SpongeBob's going to be out of order? I'm never going to be able to figure it out.
I feel like Disney Plus should do something similar with the Clone Wars, and they might actually put it in the right order.
Right.
But
that would be.
Yeah, I just thought this was really cool because, like, one of the biggest drawbacks to the way I live now without, like, live TV is that every time I turn my TV on, I have to, like, really physically choose something to put
right.
on.
You don't have any.
I can't just
channels.
Turn on the TV. Whereas right. this now, I could just pop on, or I guess if I left it running the night before, it might just come up when I, you know, when I turn my TV on. But I could just turn my TV on and hit Star Trek channel, and it'll just play something. So
yeah.
I think this is pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah. Yeah, what I do at night, like the show I'm on now, and it's I'm doing Psych, and right. basically it's on Paramount. Is it? Oh, it's on Peacock, and right. you just put it on, hit play, and it just goes through them in order, right?
Right.
But it'll when I wake up in the middle of the night, it's still playing. When I wake up in the morning, it's still playing, and I'll fall. I was doing that with Big Bang Theory before, and that was on HBO Max, and it just keeps on going. But having a channel like this, and it would be fun if more people did this, so you would have something that you could put on in the background and just be like,
right.
oh, I'll just watch some Star Trek stuff. And it might actually get you and get people to be like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Let me go back and watch that series from beginning right. to end, you know, so... That's really
yeah,
interesting. All the
like
content's
said,
there. Why don't they do it, you know?
It has to be something that has enough content to do that with, right? But, like, I could see, like, I don't know where The Office, I think The Office is on Peacock right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you could definitely have an Office channel. You could probably have a Psych channel.
Yeah.
You know, you could go to HBO Max and have a Doctor Who channel. So, I mean, there's lots of streaming services that have long-running shows that they could do things like this with. And I think it's really cool. And I'd be surprised if we don't see more streamers actually start doing something like that.
Yeah.
Because it does... I can't imagine it takes that much effort for them either. Like, there's an algorithm that just says, pick from these five shows in random... You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
just,
randomly
yeah,
play
just
one.
Just hit and
you know?
Shuffle on your content.
Exactly.
You put all the shows in right. there and go, boom, and just play it. And
exactly.
Whenever you tune
and it just
in,
never
you're
stops.
Getting it. Yeah.
Yeah, it just runs 24/7.
Yep.
You know, and like I said, it's kind of like back in the old days. You turn on the TV and you're like halfway through a show.
Yeah.
You know?
It's fun.
Like, it's like, oh, I missed the beginning of this. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Because you don't really live that way anymore. It's not that often that you come in the middle of something anymore. You know,
What I miss, John? Cooking over an open flame.
Yeah. I miss missing half of my shows.
I miss that. Yeah. Everything's perfect now, John, and I don't like it.
Me either.
We need to ruin the world a little bit.
Get off my lawn.
Make it more like me. Ruined.
Right. Ruined. Cranky and old.
All right. What do you got next? I mean,
so
what's up next?
Netflix has canceled Cowboy Bebop after one season.
Speaking of ruined.
Yeah. This just saves me like 6 hours is really
yeah,
what this
really,
announcement
I,
did. I probably wasn't going to watch this anyways because I didn't hear good things about it. But now knowing that
it in Netflix.
Yeah. Now knowing that it's canceled, it just saves me the trouble of even bothering.
Right.
So yeah, I heard it was not, you know, for people that are big Cowboy Bebop fans, and there's a lot of fans of the anime, which
yeah.
is very well regarded. They were not pleased with this adaptation. And
was it live action?
It was live action. Yeah, John Cho. It had John Cho, and he's the only one that I really knew. But yeah, it just didn't hit. So it's gone.
That's too bad.
Yeah,
that's too bad. And the last one here,
and
like
the
we
last
talked
one,
about earlier.
Yeah, from straight from the things we don't need department. The CW is developing a Gotham Knights TV series. So the same team that's bringing you Batwoman week after week is going to be in charge of bringing this show. The synopsis here is Batman is dead. He's been murdered. And... his rebellious stepson, and I don't know which one that is. I'm imagining Jason Todd. And the sons and daughters of Gotham's villains have to team together to prove their innocence and fight crime.
Well, stepson would be somewhat like his wife's son, not an adopted son.
Well, I
right?
think they all. I think he calls them all son, right?
Like, yeah.
like Damien is his son, so it wouldn't be
right.
Damien.
No, it's not Damien.
And when I think rebellious stepson, it's Jason that comes to mind, right? Like Dick and Tim are not necessarily rebellious.
Right.
But you know, the image they put up to tease this news story is from the video game Gotham Knights, which features Nightwing and Batgirl and all of the characters that are not going to appear in this show.
Oh, they don't know that, though.
Because when I saw that headline and looked at that picture, I was actually pretty happy about this.
Right.
Until I went in and read, oh, none of these people are going to be in this show.
The one time you read past the headline, John,
I know.
This is why you don't. You're all disappointed.
Right, I'll never do it again. But yeah, again, going back to the let's have another Batman show with no Batman in it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I will give this a watch for an episode or two, but to me, it just feels like another CW show that I'm not going to watch. Like, I've almost pulled the plug on the entire DC CW universe, with the exception of Superman and Lois.
It's how popular.
I'm just done with it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And
so you never saw Pennyworth, right? The show.
No,
with
which
Alfred.
I do want to see.
Yeah.
Now that it's going
good.
To be on HBO, I just never wanted to pay for Epix,
right,
to get that show. But now that it's going to be moving to HBO Max, I will definitely watch Pennyworth.
I think I saw the first three episodes for free on, it was on something, I think Amazon had it. And if it,
oh, yeah.
Because it was through Epix, but you got the first three free or something.
Right.
And it was good. I almost was going to pay for it because I liked where it's very well done. It's very, and it's adult type humor, not humor, but yeah, adult type show. But my point was, like, think of Batman's characters aren't the only ones in the world that are that creative. I mean, we've always said he's had probably the best rogues gallery. But all his characters, I mean, think of all the shows they do without him, including the show Gotham, which was really very, I mean, he was there as a child.
Right.
But Batman wasn't there, obviously.
Yeah, you're not getting like Jimmy Olsen TV shows, and you're not getting.
Did we ever, like, though? Did we
No,
ever
that's what
get
I'm saying.
Lois?
We never have. Yeah. We never. You're not getting I can't even think of, you know, an Aquaman show with no Aquaman, you know, or whatever. Like,
yeah, it was called Baywatch.
Like, yeah. But they're not, you're right, like, to your point, they're not developing, like, the worlds
right.
of any of the other characters. Gotham seems to be its own character, and they're building shows around Gotham.
Right.
And not necessarily Batman, but they're not doing that with Metropolis or Atlantis or Star City or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
In the Marvel Universe, it's all real. Well, with the exception of Krakoa. But, I mean, they're all real cities. You know, like Spider-Man's in
New York.
You know, Daredevil's in, you know, Hell's Kitchen, which is a part of New York. So these are all real places. So you can't, the backdrop isn't necessarily its own character.
But even with those characters, like, we're not getting J. Jonah Jameson's spinoff show. You know, it was called... You know, it was called Lou Grant, you know, like, they're not doing that with any other property except for Batman. And I know Batman is, you know, king of the world, but how much room is there for, again, how much room is there for all these Batman shows with no Batman?
Like, yeah, it really just plays to the popularity of Batman, though. It's a testament to that they even just keep doing it because they must know. Like, it's going to make money on some level. And
they must, because I'll be honest with you, even this Penguin show, like, it better do something to hook me, because just because it's Penguin doesn't put me on board. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I am not necessarily that into watching three seasons of the Penguin.
No.
Unless,
well,
it's very
Colin
compelling.
Farrell's awesome.
He is, but this has to be something, you know, like I said, it has to be very compelling for me to want to watch three seasons of,
but then,
like,
you go back to Joker,
D-list villain,
the Joker, you know? Movie, you know, and they pulled that off, and it was really good. So maybe they're thinking, like, if we did a Penguin show instead of doing another movie like that,
right?
But it's just, it's very, I'm not complaining about it at all. I just think it's really interesting that Batman is the only, you know, entity that gets this treatment. Right. And it's, and I'd say, well, I can't think of another character that could deserve this treatment. But if you asked me before all of this, would you watch and then name all the Batman stuff that's come out? I'd be like, no, I love the show Gotham. That was really good. Got a little long in the tooth towards the end.
It did.
But it still was really interesting. Obviously, we like Joker. Who knows? I mean, maybe they're onto something and you can do more like that. But I kind of like the main characters myself. But
well, right. So. Me too.
All right. That's it, right? That's it. Other than
that's all I have for news. Yes.
Big news is Thursday. We're seeing, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home. What time are you seeing him?
Well, I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
Lydia has jury duty tomorrow. So.
Oh.
We have
that
tickets.
Means she isn't seeing it.
Well, I won't see it without her.
What?
But we have tickets for 3:00.
Oh, cool. So do I.
It's very possible that she'll be released early.
Yeah.
You know, she
should just tell the judge, I have tickets.
Yeah, right. I have tickets to Spider-Man. I mean, I've had jury duty. I don't even know how many. I've lost count of how many times. And I've been maybe one time been there longer than an hour. So.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that she gets sent home. But, yeah, I don't know. We bought the tickets, and then she's had the letter for a couple of weeks, but we just kind of put two and two together that, oh, that's tomorrow.
Oh, so, no.
Yeah. So we'll see. Worst case is I'll have to see it over the weekend or even Friday night, but I won't go without her because she wants to see it. So
you could still go with her.
I know, but...
Later.
I won't. Well, there's no seats left for Thursday. Like, I won't
right.
be able to see
no,
it
I know.
Tomorrow.
I know.
Earliest I'll probably be able to see it is Friday or Saturday or Sunday, probably.
Yeah.
So.
Oof.
But I'll see it over. I mean, by the time we have our next show, I will have seen it. There's no way that's not going to happen.
Right.
So.
And then next week we get Matrix.
So. Yeah, which I don't have tickets for that yet.
Yeah, HBO Max.
I think I might just watch it at home. As much
that's,
as
I'll
feel
try
like
to
that's
see
a big,
it, but
that's
I'm not
probably
kill
a theater
myself.
Movie. But it's also one that Lydia is not super into, and,
right?
And I'd be quite honest. I'm just mildly interested in. I mean, we've talked about this before. I really liked the first Matrix movie a lot.
Right.
Didn't care a whole lot for 2 or 3. So
yeah, that's like they kind of did fizzle a little bit. I enjoyed them. I wouldn't say I liked them as much as the first, but yeah, I'm really interested to see what they did here. I have a feeling that I won't get into it, but I have my feelings on what they're going to do here. But
right,
we'll see. We will see. All right, we ready to get to, what do we get to next here? Checkout?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, that's it. Look at that. We're cooking right along. That was the news. That was, all right. John, what did we spend our money on this week? These past 2 weeks, actually.
2 weeks, yeah. We actually have a few books here because
yep.
we have 2 weeks, 2 weeks worth of books. And so a couple of these are a couple of weeks old at this point. But
yeah.
So I've got 3 books here. I read 4 for the show, but one of them I just didn't care for very much at all, so I left it off the list.
Yeah.
These are kind of in order for me of how I enjoyed them.
You're giving it all away, huh?
But again, that doesn't mean that anything is bad. It just means that my level of enjoyment goes top to bottom. So first book we're going to talk about is Hotel Volume 2, Issue 1. This is a 5-issue miniseries. It's from AWA Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Same team that brought us Hotel Volume 1, writer John Lees and artist Dalibor Talajic, I guess. So this is, like I said, the second volume of Hotel. I don't want to say a continuation because even Hotel itself was not really a continuation of anything. These were kind of anthology-based stories that had a thread that kind of held them together, which was the hotel that they were staying at. And this is a completely new story. It's not connected at all to the first volume, except that it also takes place in the hotel. So I will say that I did not enjoy this version as much as I enjoyed anything in volume one. I thought volume one was much better than this first outing. That doesn't mean I didn't like it, though.
Right.
I think it is fine. I just didn't think it had the same... For me, it didn't hit as well as the first outing did. I thought they did a better job the first time around.
I liked it. I think it's a great... If you haven't read the first volume, you could still jump in and then be like, what is this all about? And then go back to it. And I'm wondering if that's what they're trying to get to here.
Well, I think so. Because like I said, they're all anthology. Like every issue deals with a different group of people, different family, different story that, like I said, they all kind of, the only connecting tissue is the hotel that's, you know, it's haunted and it's where things are happening. So even issue two of this volume will probably be completely different than issue one, and may be great. It may be better than anything we saw the first time around. But yes, this is very self-contained. Like, you don't have to have read anything prior to this to understand this book. I mean, it completely stands on its own.
Right.
So I think that in that instance, they did a great job. But like I said, I would say that about any of the five issues of the first series. Like, I think you could have just picked up number three and read it, and you know, you wouldn't have really been missing out on a whole lot, because they were designed to be, you know, pretty much self-contained stories. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's the idea of it. So, you know, I enjoyed it. I didn't really find it that much better or worse. I just thought I really enjoyed it. I thought the entire time, maybe that's why, is because the entire time I was reading it, I was looking for, do we need to have read the first volume? Or it wasn't called a volume at the time. But
no, it was just hotel.
It was just hotel. But you know what I mean? So I was like, I was kind of thinking of it that way. And I liked what was going on here. I thought the story here in this one was a little bit rushed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just, like I said, this particular family that we met and their story, it wasn't as compelling to me as some of the other ones that we've read.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay.
Like I said, the setting is the
same. It was still good.
Everything is great.
But like you said, like it's still good.
It was still good. I would still recommend it. I still think overall, you know, all six issues that I guess they've been now are good. You know, they're definitely worth reading. So, I would put it on your list. I just, like I said, it didn't hit for me as well as the first volume did. So,
all right. Next up.
All right. Next up, we have Daisy, issue number one. This is a 5-issue miniseries from Dark Horse Comics. I'm going to make a joke right now. Like, this is a book that couldn't exist if we were in a unionized comic book world, because this book was written and drawn by Colin Lorimer. So the same guy who couldn't do two jobs if he was in a union. But in this case, go back 2 episodes ago to find out what
exactly
we're talking about.
To see what we're talking about. Good
Smiling
call there.
Stan.
I like that one. Yeah, I like that. That's funny.
But yeah, so this book is called Daisy, like I said, written by Dark Horse Comics. This book was a little weird, but I found myself pretty intrigued by it. It starts out with I want to say like a fairy tale story, although it's more like a history story. But it's of like all these giants, a race of giants that were created. And, like, what they went through, like, they after they basically devoured all the food that was available for them to partake of, they turned on the humans, who were kind of like their creators, and started eating all of them. And then when they've gone through that, they turned on each other and started eating other giants. It was like this really weird story. But it was being told as like a Bible verse to some kids that were being taught this, this story. And then we kind of flash forward to a woman who is looking for her missing son. And she gets a call from somebody in this town to that leads her to believe her son may be there. So she's on the way to go do this, and she ends up basically at this compound where this this story was being told. And
yeah, she sees the sheriff first. Yeah.
Right, she goes to see the sheriff. The sheriff brings her out to this little compound, and they meet Daisy, who is kind of like the teacher and the caretaker. And when she stands up, you realize that she's a giant. And so that brings like the fantasy aspect into reality, because you realize that these giants exist because Daisy is one. And then to me, this is where the book gets good. Like there's a definite, oh crap moment.
Yeah.
that was like, all right, we went there, you know.
Oh, didn't think we were going to go there.
Yeah, didn't think we were going to go there, but we did. And like that's where it ticked up for me. And
do you not think that they're going to go there, it's not even in your mind.
No, it was. I was not completely whoa, okay, didn't see that coming at all.
And I'm telling you, if you haven't read Daisy number one and you're listening to us right now and you're like, oh, okay, we're not spoiling anything, because trust me,
no.
Even with what we're saying, you won't be like, oh, I saw that coming.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
To me, that's when the book ticked up and I was like, okay, I'm really interested in this now. And then it kind of, you know, went to its finale. A couple more things happened. I won't really talk about any more of it because I don't want to spoil anything. But
right.
But yeah, this is going to be a 5-issue mini. And I'm on board. Like, I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was same here. It was really good. I loved the ending. Big reveal at the end, kind of, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah, a bit of a reveal.
It's funny how something like that can happen, and it just changes the complete, like, outlook on the book. Everything you read before, I was still into it. I liked the story.
I was really trying to figure it out and not sure if I was digging it.
I liked it. It wasn't a moment where I was like, oh, this isn't very good, because I was grabbed by the characters. But then I was like when that, you know, when you get to that part of the book, you're like, oh my God. And now it's hard to think back to exactly what I was thinking before that.
Right.
But it does. It changes the whole book. It changes how you feel about the book. It was what I liken it to. The best thing I could think of is that, what was it, Daredevil number 3, when you just turned the page and there he was. And you were not expecting that. So it was a big deal.
Right. Well, like you said, at no part was I reading it and thinking that I wasn't liking it. But,
right.
But I mean, let's be honest. Every number one book I read, I am judging every page, trying to determine if I'm going to give it my time for issue 2. And,
exactly.
You know, as I'm trying to figure out what's going on, you know, I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to stick with it or not. And then that page happens, and my mind was made up that I was going to stick with it. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, it was good. It was very, very good, actually. Sorry. And I would say, to segue into the next book, same idea. I like it. And you've liked this one, like you said, we're building to the one that you like the most.
Right.
I would kind of agree with you pretty much on all of these. So, and I think you're going to say the same thing. This next one kind of had that, oh, we're going there moment. And I didn't see that coming. I don't know if it was in the synopsis. I typically don't read those.
I did because I knew ahead of time.
Okay.
Listening to Dr. Joe talk about this book on the TLDR podcast. So I,
oh, yes.
I
don't want to say it was. I don't listen to him until
I don't
want to
say it was spoiled for me because he didn't spoil anything, but I kind of knew. I had the gist of the story, you know, from that. But in any case, King of Spies, number one. This is unfortunately only a 4-issue miniseries, so pretty short. It's from Image Comics. It was written by Mark Miller, had art by Matteo Scalera. So the register pitch on this is that it's a spy thriller, part James Bond, part John Wick, right? This guy is the world's greatest secret agent, and he finds out he has 6 months to live. And so what does he do when he finds out that he has 6 months left to live? You know, he has been a secret agent for his entire life. He's done a lot of things that he's not proud of. And what is he going to do with his remaining 6 months? And we don't really know. Like, we know that he's not going to go quietly into that good night.
You know?
Otherwise, there wouldn't be a comic. You know, we don't really know because this book, you know, that kind of takes you to the end of issue one. You know, so we don't know exactly what's going to happen here, but you need to get a sense that he's going to go and try to right some wrongs that he's done and cause some problems for people that need to have problems caused for them. I thought it was a lot of fun. Thought the art was really good. And I dug it.
Yeah. So. No, same thing. Much like Daisy number one, I thought good build up. You get to that point where it's like, okay. And like I said, I didn't read the synopsis. So I was like, oh, okay. And it's just a good first book that makes you want to, I mean, by the time you get to the end of this, you're like, oh, I'm all in for more fun. And like you said, it's only four, you know, one of four. So we only get three books of the real fun. And, but that could get old. So maybe that's why it's only four books.
Might be all we need.
That's, you know, I kind of have that feeling because, I kind of felt like it was like Moths at the end.
Right.
You know, it's like the same storyline. We don't need a lot of time here. And,
This is 4 issues. Mark Miller, who has a deal with Netflix, I haven't heard anything specifically about this property, but this is a movie, not a show, right?
Like, yeah.
Four-issue book with 6 months to live. This feels like it's a movie. You know, they'll blast through this whole thing in a couple of hours, and that'll be it. So,
That would be good.
We'll see.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I feel like anything he writes these days is just like a pitch for a show or a movie on Netflix.
Right.
So, I can't imagine they won't.
Here's the screenplay.
Do something. Right.
Exactly. So, all right. What was that other one? We don't have to talk about it.
The other one that we didn't like?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you liked it or not. I didn't like it.
No, that one I was going to ask you to explain to me.
Well, it was called Lunar Rome. It was from Vault Comics. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't dig it. My understanding is the main character was a werewolf at one point and now no longer is.
Yeah, and I didn't like the ending.
But yeah, I don't know. I found it confusing. I didn't really know what was going on. I just like I said, I didn't find it very compelling, so I didn't think it was even really worth getting into.
Yeah, so all I've read otherwise is I did read Batman 118. And I guess that's the segue into the next story arc.
Yep, I did read that.
I hate to say, I might be out on it.
Well, I was hoping that it would be very, like, the last couple of big names that have jumped on Batman have made significant changes to, like, his world right away. And this felt very much like just the next issue of James Tynan's run.
Yeah.
We were right in the aftermath of Fear State. Didn't seem like a whole lot new was going on. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it will take a lot for me to be out on Batman, really at any point, but I wasn't super thrilled with it either. I was kind of hoping, like, again, I don't expect them to bring Alfred back to life, even though I wish they would. But
they need a reset. Honestly, yeah,
they do need to reset. Like, I don't know. I really don't like the idea of Bruce not having his money, not having the Batcave, not having Wayne Manor. Like, I just don't like any of that. You know, him living in some brownstone somewhere with, you know, his hideout in the sewers.
Well, you know what else?
I don't know. I just don't dig any of that. So
the other thing is, it's not Batman anymore. It's,
yeah.
I mean, they've eliminated who Batman was, right?
Right.
And it's all about these new characters. A lot like what they're doing with the TV shows. They're doing all these TV shows without Batman in it. Here they are in the Batman comic, and they're doing Batman without Batman in it. I mean, I know we have, you know, Detective, but this book is called Batman. And it's all about, I mean, think of all the punchline, think of all the different characters that they've added just recently, and it's like they're trying to pull more people. He already has a fantastic rogues gallery. Now we're going to do this, and we're going to add in more. And like in this book, they added yet another one. Plus, they add in all of these other characters that he's been working with. Did we know that? Is that new? Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Which character?
The one at the end where he's talking to Batman.
It was three weeks ago.
Yeah, those other Batman. Remember the other Batman characters that supposedly, you know, took up his mantle or whatever around the world?
Yeah,
and they turned themselves in because they killed the bad guy.
That was a different book. That was Batman the Detective.
Oh, that's Batman 118. Batman 118. That's
Okay, I don't remember. I remember being Batman the Detective, where he was chasing all the Batman. They were all dressed in white, and they were killing all the people that Batman saved.
Mm-mm.
Is that not what you're talking about?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I'm confused. But, I guess I don't remember it coming up before. So
it ends with Luther?
That I remember.
Oh, okay.
But,
yeah. Yeah, Luther's... Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're like you said. I don't know what they're doing there, but
clearly we don't know. It's like, I'm
definitely not going to stop reading Batman at least yet. Like I said, they'd have to go pretty far for me to stop reading it. But although I'm almost out of Spider-Man, so I guess they don't have to go that far because if I have to keep reading about Ben Reilly and Peter in his coma, I'm going to be done with that book. So,
all right. What else did you read?
I read a bunch, yeah. But crossover number 10.
I haven't read that yet.
Okay. And the only reason why I wanted to bring it up was because they had a really cool scene. I don't know if you're caught up on the series or not, but they've been using the characters from Powers, which was a book created by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Oeming. And there was like a sequence in there that was drawn by Michael Oeming and written by Brian Bendis. And it was just like three pages of the book. But Bendis and Oeming being interrogated by his characters that he created.
Oh, okay.
And it was pretty funny. That it was like the book itself was just kind of another issue. Like they're all good. But that stood out to me as being pretty funny that, you know, they were written and drawn by, you know, like I said, the creators of the characters, and both those characters were being interrogated by their characters.
That's funny.
And they're like, you know, and kind of like they're aware that he created them. So like the female character is like, and all the disgusting stuff you made me do. And it was just really funny. It was really funny.
That's wicked funny.
Yeah, you definitely need to read that.
Okay.
Let's see, Dark Knights of Steel number 2, just still great. That's a really good series. I don't know if you've caught up on any of that yet. Of course, that's the Tom Taylor series, and really, like I said, still really good. I read Devil's Reign number 1.
Oh, you did? I didn't get to that one. Chip Zdarsky. I want to read that one, though. Yeah, that looks like it's going to be good. How was it?
It's really good, yeah. It's, like, again, this is kind of Kingpin. Like, this is season three Daredevil Kingpin. You know what I mean? Like, this is him at the height of his powers and just, like, 10 steps ahead of everybody. And, you know, he has a plan to take down, you know, custom-powered heroes. Well, actually, powered individuals. He didn't even necessarily discriminate between heroes and villains. Like, he's after people, anybody with powers that are not sworn to his allegiance, basically, he's going after. And, yeah, it's a great start. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. But, yeah, it's really good.
Cool.
And then the last one I wrote down was Crimson Rain, number one. So, again, this is the Star Wars event. Mm-hmm. With Kira and Crimson Dawn, and this was good. You know, again, really digging into Kira after kind of post Solo, and this book delves a little bit into that, like the space between the end of Solo and kind of where we saw her in War of the Bounty Hunters. You know, a little bit of how she got where she was. They do, you know, they talk about Darth Maul and some of that stuff. But yeah, like I said, this is kind of this is the second part of a 3-series arc that Charles Soule is writing. And I don't know, I really like it.
Cool.
They brought back some of the abandoned characters from like the Star Wars Legends, you know, like all this kind of like the stuff that came before Disney that got disavowed. You know, the same, like they've brought back, like they're kind of like slowly bringing, like they brought Thrawn back in. He was part of that. There's talk of Mara Jade coming in. And there's another character that was brought into this series that was from those stories, which was pretty cool to see. So it seems like they're trying to figure out a way to bring some of those elements into canon without just doing a blanket bringing everything in. So
cool.
But yeah, like I said, good story, good artwork. And it's Star Wars, so can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So. Actually, did you read Vader 18?
I read it a couple weeks ago.
I wasn't crazy about it. I was like,
I can't tell you what happened in it, but I read it.
Yeah, exactly. There wasn't I just remember I wasn't crazy about it, and it ended was it Padme? I think it ended with a scene with Padme or something. And I was like, oh, okay. But everything leading up to like the last 3 pages, I was like, I didn't really care about it.
I don't remember it at all. So.
Yeah. It was weird. Really weird. But I read Spawn. I'm loving that. Liking exactly where it's going too. They're starting to bring all of them together.
Right.
That's a lot of fun. Let's see what else. Oh, Nyx, NYX.
Yeah, I didn't read it.
Yeah,
I didn't read that. For number one that much.
Yeah, it was fun. It's fun. I know you didn't like it that much, but I'm enjoying it. And next one, she's actually going after Vampirella in the next book, so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, because it's part of that universe. This one here, she she goes after her father. It's pretty funny. Her father is that like hell demon or what? This,
right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Weird, very weird. What was the and Knighted number 2?
I read that.
Did you read that? What'd you think?
Yes, I liked it.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
I thought it was good. Yeah, it's fun.
It's the Batman that we want,
right?
That we're not getting out of Batman,
right?
It's actually contentious Batman. He doesn't even want to be there,
right?
I felt like this could have been all one book, these first 2 books. I did enjoy both of them, but don't you feel like at the end of the second book, we're exactly where we were at the end of the first book?
Well, kind of. In the first book, he ended up in the suit kind of accidentally, right?
Right.
And then he spends all of issue 2, you know, it was kind of like the whole Winter Soldier, right? Like,
yeah.
Do I want to be Captain America or don't I? And it was kind of the same thing with this. Like, do I want to be the knight? Or don't I? And I at the end of the day, I still don't think he wants to be the knight. I think
he doesn't.
Feels like it's going to help him out of...
It's a means to an end, yeah.
Yeah, it's just going to help him get where he needs to get to. You know, he's kind of hurting for money. He's hurting for, you know, his girlfriend and all kinds of stuff. So I think he's begrudgingly taking on the role.
But, well, there was one part where he just listed everything he has, which is nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Like, he's like, my girlfriend won't marry me. He's got, like, everything that you would actually check off, like, you have good, he doesn't have. And it's like, why wouldn't you do this? And then that's basically what he decides. He's like, I should just do this, and hopefully I can turn my life around with it.
Right.
But, I, you know, the, quote, Alfred character, I think, is great. And, I mean, there's some good humor in it. It's just, I think it's just a fun, different book that... a little bit like crossover, kind of like just, you know, taking a little bit of our knowledge from Batman and other books and using that to our advantage in writing a more unique story. So, lots of fun with that one.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
And it's AWA and it's Resistance. You know, it all takes place in the Resistance. So
cool. And, I think that's about it. Daredevil. Daredevil number 36. Yeah. And how that ended, and that just goes right into...
Well, that just goes right into Devil's Reign.
Right.
Pretty much, yeah.
And from what you're saying about Devil's Reign, it sounds like there's a pretty big step after Daredevil to get to Devil's Reign, because at the end of this, you know, Kingpin isn't exactly Kingpin.
Well, and he's not here either.
Okay.
He's the mayor.
Yeah. You know, I know that. But
I mean, he's making these, but what I'm saying, he's making these proclamations and these laws as the mayor, not necessarily as the kingpin.
Okay.
You know, these are like,
but Fisk is just like, he's still content, quote unquote, content, like he is at the end of Daredevil.
Yes. Yeah. He's fine not being Kingpin. It's still his son.
Right.
Is Kingpin. But this is very Civil War in a way. Like, it's making these laws. What Civil War? Well, like the accords, right? Like the Sokovia Accords or whatever.
Well, it's they alluded like to it, this. the superhero registry or whatever they called it in Daredevil.
Right.
Remember? And a lot of this came from that came from that standoff when all of the superheroes tried to stick up for Daredevil and not getting arrested, you know, and they were like, well, wait a minute. And it actually made them think, which was pretty cool, because that was all in Daredevil as well.
Right. And this is the whole thing. So now they've all been outlawed, and it's very like Gotham in a way, like very Batman in a way right now, right? Like all vigilantes empowered characters have been outlawed, but like Captain America is not going to stop saving people. Nobody's going to stop,
right?
And so that's kind of where we are in issue one of that. But yeah, it very much picks up right after Daredevil ended. I mean, there may be, you know, could be a week or two in between. You know, there's not a big time jump though,
right?
I think it's pretty much right, you know, right on the heels of it.
Yeah, I wanted to read that. I don't know why I forgot. That came out last week. And Daredevil came out the week ago. 2 weeks ago.
Right. And Devil's Reign came out last week.
So I just hadn't gotten to that. Because when I got to the end of Daredevil, it said Devil's Reign next. I was like, oh yeah. And then I was like, oh, and I just never got back to it. So
right.
But all right. That about it?
Yeah, like I said, I'm sure I read other books, I'm sure, but
yeah.
I don't really remember much of
them. I know. all right, then let's get to Real World.
All right.
Roll the tape.
Roll the tape.
All right, you go first. Thank you.
So the first thing I did was finished watching Masters of the Universe Revelations. I only had two episodes left 2 weeks ago when we talked about it. So, it's a pretty easy 40 minutes to finish it out. It was good. Did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
You watched part one though, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was good. Like it was kind of more of the same from part one, but this is, like some of the criticisms that people had, about this show in the beginning, I kind of feel we're a little justified in the sense that, like, a lot of people were complaining that this was a Teela story more than, say, like a He-Man story.
Than an Adam story, yeah.
Yeah, and Kevin Smith kind of going out on a limb and saying, this is very much not a Teela story. But I watched it.
It's a Teela story.
It felt a lot like a Teela story to me. Like, it was really a lot about her transformation and her metamorphosis into where she was to what she becomes at the end, which I won't spoil because you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But it was, again, it was more a Teela and a Lynn, Eva Lynn story than it was. Like, Adam was just a fixture here. Like,
right.
Didn't feel like very, very much the center of this story. Now, as people will point out, it is called Masters of the Universe.
Right. And that's what not they said at the beginning. Yep.
And this was pretty much, I think it was deliberately designed to be that way, but this was more a story about the other people, like the other characters in this world. And so
they're going all Batman on us.
Right. I see why some people were upset by that because, you know, they want He-Man. And, you know, back in the old days, it was He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. That's what the show was called. I didn't dislike it. I actually liked it quite a bit, but I see where they're coming from. Because getting to the end of this, he felt unnecessary to most of this story. You know, it really was about Lynn and Teela, the sorceress. It was a lot of other characters that had important roles here, much more so than him. So if you don't think you're going to dig that, then stay away from it.
No, I like
this
that.
Probably isn't for you. Well, I'm just saying the collective
for the listeners.
You.
Yes.
Yeah.
The
not,
listeners.
Not you. Yes, yeah. For the listeners.
Gotcha.
If that's not what you want, then you might not like this, but I thought it was pretty good. And, you know, again, I'll watch Mark Hamill chewing up the scenery as Skeletor.
Yeah.
Chewing forever. Up the scenery. So
it's animated, John.
Yeah. Still chewing it up.
All right. What next?
I'm
like, where'd you go? What happened?
Well, I have to get to this quote because I don't remember it, but it plays into what I'm going to say next. So the next show I watched was called Arcane. It's on Netflix. It's based around the world of League of Legends, which I don't know anything about. I've never played that game, and I don't know any of these characters. But you don't have to have known anything. But other than that, this is a story set kind of in that world. It's a CGI show.
Okay.
But it was really good. Like, I had seen it advertised and had no real intention of watching it. Like, I don't know League of Legends, and I wasn't really into it. Somebody in the store kind of really talked me into watching it. And I have to say, it was great. But a couple of things I wrote down as I was watching this that I thought were kind of funny. And I actually wrote down a quote that they said in one of these episodes, which is like now my new favorite quote. Like, I just thought this was great. In the pursuit of great, we fail to do good. And I thought that was awesome. Like, out of context, maybe it doesn't, I don't
know,
maybe it doesn't land as well.
That totally makes sense.
But even out of context, like, I don't know why, it just kind of really struck me and I wanted to write it down so I didn't forget it.
Yeah.
But like, that's my new favorite quote. Because that is so right. Like, that is so true.
Oh, yeah.
In most cases, right?
Right.
Like,
well, that's,
you know,
like,
we're all big picture. And
right,
forgetting what you're doing impacts, you know, how it impacts day to day things.
Yeah,
was pretty cool.
I feel like that's another way of saying like slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Right, because everybody wants to rush to do stuff, but when you rush, you make mistakes. But if you go slow, you go smoothly. You'll go, you know, perfect, and that's actually fast in the long run. Right. And I felt like that, it's kind of like that saying there. But
yeah, yeah. Now, like I said, it was in context, it was great too. I just felt like even out of context, it was good. But what I noted was funny here.
I have a quote for us today too that I wrote down so I didn't forget. So that's kind of funny.
Awesome. That is funny. I think this is completely unrelated, but very coincidental. So the main character in this show is voiced by Haley Steinfeld.
Okay.
Okay. When I started watching episode one of this, it was right after episode three of Hawkeye.
Mm.
In episode three of Hawkeye, when they are tied to the
horses,
the horses.
Yep.
Yeah. And they're, you know, being interrogated by the tracksuit mafia. There's a pretty good good exchange there where they talk about Imagine Dragons, the band Imagine Dragons.
Okay. Right?
Like the guy's talking about how he bought his girlfriend tickets to Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Haley has that whole thing with him. And then I get watching Arcane, and the credits come on, and it says, starring Haley Steinfeld as blah, blah, blah. And the theme song is sung by Imagine Dragons.
That's probably not a coincidence.
But, like, two completely different shows from Netflix versus Disney Plus. Like, I don't know when these were created. Imagine Dragons was hired to write the theme song to this show, but it just
right.
I don't know, the timing of it was like too much to be
in the art
accidental.
World is very rare that things are coincidences. It's usually like these people are talking and they're like, oh, I'm doing this show too. I'm like, all right, and they get a little crossover there,
but I feel like
that's
well
cool.
That case, right, like Arcane probably came first. Like, they probably hired Imagine Dragons independent of Hawkeye. But I imagine on the set of Hawkeye, that script could have said any band, and maybe she said, let's make it Imagine Dragons.
Right, but, exactly. No, that's what I mean. That's how I think something like that would go down. Like, hey, I could, you know, she'll ad lib it, like, you know. But, all right, what else they got?
Hang on, I'm sorry, hang on one second.
That's okay.
Work things.
Oh boy. All right.
One second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll be.
I was going to go through my movies that I watched.
No, I'm done.
Okay.
Okay. so then we finished Get Back, which was, you know.
Oh, yeah. I touched on. Yeah.
I touched on last.
Good.
Last show. Yeah.
Getting
it's.
Through it.
Well, again, it's long and. I loved it. Like, whether it's good or not really depends on your enjoyment of the Beatles and the creative process that goes into making music.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of downtime in this 8-hour documentary, you know. There's a lot of just, we're sitting here, we're plucking on our guitars, we're, you know.
Right.
But I loved every minute of it. Like, you know, like I said before, I'm a huge Beatles fan. I thought it was fascinating. Like, you can definitely see the band, like, destructing.
Oh, really?
While this is taking place, you know. Like, this was not the end of the Beatles. At the end of this, they do their last performance, which was on the top of Apple Records. You know, that was their last live performance.
Yeah.
But they actually released one more album after this took place. So they didn't immediately break up, but you can definitely see the tensions and the events that kind of ultimately led to them breaking up. I recommend it. I really liked it. Let's see. Watched Lost in Space season 3.
The whole season? Wow.
Whole season. Yeah.
Good.
Yes, it was really good. Again, if you liked the first two seasons, this is very similar in tone. And, I enjoyed it. It was like 8 episodes, I think. Or 9 episodes.
Wow.
That was really good. And also, again, a great theater experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great Dolby Vision, great Dolby Atmos sound. Really fun to watch just for that by itself. Finally got into watching Sex Education season 3. I've mentioned it a couple times, but I've been trying to get into that for a while. Just couldn't find the time. Same thing. I know you haven't watched any of the first two seasons, so you don't know anything about it. But it's a pretty funny show. Like I said, it stars Gillian Anderson, Asa Butterfield, I think is the kid's name. But it's pretty. pretty funny show. I mean, it is, of course, you know, it's kind of like long version of like Porky's or something. I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, it's high school. It's you know, they're all
high school hijinks.
Yeah, everybody's having sex with everybody. It's all, you know, it's all of that stuff. But
Yeah, I remember that in high school.
But there's more to it than that. Like, again, there's more to the show than that.
Right.
Like, there's, you know, this actual story that's taking place that's pretty good. And then I watched first episode of The Expanse, season 6.
Oh, okay.
Dropped this week. I watched it last night. Yeah, this is last season. There's only 6 episodes, so it's going to go before you know it. But once again, I know you're not. I don't know where you are in this show yet. If you're,
I don't think you're up to season. First season.
Okay, so you're
yeah, I'm ways back.
But this is a really great show. The disappointing thing of this, though, is that the previous 2 seasons, again, only disappointing to you and I, but the previous 2 seasons of this hit in Dolby Atmos. This season is not, which seems like a big step back for some reason. I don't know why they would make that decision. It is on Amazon Prime, which is not known for their
quality
content when it comes to that.
We'll get to that in a minute.
But it's unfortunate that the last 2 seasons had it and then they stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like I said, this is it's a great show. 6 episodes are going to go by before you know it, and it's going to be over. So, a little bittersweet, I guess, with that.
All right.
That's it. You know, again, watched a lot of episodic stuff. I watched the end of Invasion. I watched, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, I've got the last 2 of Invasion to do. I haven't done those yet. I'll go through some movies. Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Really enjoy these are all my Christmas movies. I did First Blood again. The Santa Claus. I watched that with Tim Allen. That was a lot of fun. And Christmas with the Cranks, also with Tim Allen. That was on the other day, and Jen and I started watching it, and it was just one of those movies that I got Shawshanked, but in the wrong direction. It was so bad that you're like,
I've never seen it.
Oh my God. If you ever come across it on TV, you'll just be like, this got made? I think it's like,
it was like the Iron Mask or whatever that movie I talked about a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
It was just so bad that it was like kind of good.
Yeah. it was Tim Allen and what's her name? True Lies. She was in True Lies and Halloween. And, Jamie Lee Curtis.
I have seen that movie, actually. Yes.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's like at the end of the movie, it's like they all come together and save Christmas for their daughter. It's like, oh my God. It's just, it's supposed to be a feel good Christmas movie at the end, and it was just a feel stupid movie the whole way through. I didn't like it. But I did watch the whole thing. And then at the end, I had to cleanse myself and I put on The Santa Claus, which is on Disney Plus. So I was able, I'm like, all right. But then Jen and I we started Dope Sick. Have you seen that yet? It's on Hulu.
I have not seen it. Yes, I know it's, Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. Really good.
I've heard it's good.
It's so good, but it's like, you're just so not depressed, but you're like, this is disgusting. Cause you know, it's based on a true story. You're just like, the entire time you're just like, oh my, it's just disgusting. So we're maybe halfway through on that. And we're just like, we sit down to watch something like, you want to watch Dope Sick? And you're like, not in the mood. Cause you got to be in a really good mood to come down a little bit. So if you just like put on something fun and you'll, you know, like we'll watch Bull or something like that from one of our other shows. The other one we just started, 9 Perfect Strangers, also on Hulu. With Nicole Kidman.
I skipped that one.
Did you see it? It's really
good.
No,
I haven't seen any of it. It just did not seem interesting to me.
I really liked it. I thought, like, there's a bunch of characters at the beginning. I thought at the end of it, it had, like, at the end of the first episode, you're like, oh my God, they did a really good job of bringing you into all the characters, and you just, you really wanted to know more about each of them. And I said to her at the end, I go, it's kind of like a good first issue of a comic book where you're like, all right, now where is this going? Why is this going this way? And yeah. It's every character has a plus and a minus. And by the end, you want to know more about all of them. I thought it was really good. A lot of fun. Not fun, but it's really, yeah. We had a good time with it.
I watched the trailer for it and actually decided against it.
I don't think I've seen the trailer.
Maybe I'll take a look at it.
But me personally, I finished season one and two.
You were busy.
I went all the way through one. Again.
Yeah.
And then got through two, and you finished two, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
Yeah, that was out a couple months ago, right?
Yeah. I was just surprised you got that far in 2 weeks, because last time you were still on season one.
Yeah, I flew through it. I loved it, and absolutely, and I thought season two was better than season one.
Yeah, I did too. It was great.
It was.
I really liked it.
Batista's awesome. I saw a write-up on it. Somebody said, and I had just said it to somebody else. I think I said it to my buddy Derek. I'm like, anybody that says Jason Momoa can't act has never seen C.
Right.
Because his acting in this is really good for playing it's one thing to play a blind guy, but it's another thing to play with the emotion that he plays. When Momoa's not really known for he's known for being just like the, happy-go-lucky surfer guy, right?
Yeah.
Party guy. And you're just like, hey, yo, and he's always like, yeah, but to see him in this and see him acting with, like, the way he feels for his family and everything and still being the badass that he is,
right?
I didn't like the way season two ended, but I like the way season two ended because I like what's going to happen in season three. You see where it's going to go and everything. And
right.
I mean, they kind of left it open that maybe who comes back in season three, you never know. But
I will say, though, that the sister / queen, I can't remember her name.
She
now
is the worst character probably in all of entertainment.
My God. Like, if I have to listen to her talk one more time.
Yeah, I know.
It is so grating and annoying. Yeah, I was like.
But that's the purpose, You just hate her with everything.
I can't imagine she talks like that in real life.
No,
I'm sure
no.
Her character choice. But, like, oh my God.
Season two was over the top.
By the end of season two, I was like, if they don't kill her pretty soon, I might be done.
I know. Or, oh my God.
She is so irritating, and it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Yes,
irritating.
Yes, yes, exactly. Oh, but I mean, they do that on purpose.
I know,
and she does a great job at it too.
She does. Much she's like, irritating.
Yeah, yeah, she's nailing the irritating. Horrible character. Disgusting.
It's like, please kill her.
I know. I know. Of all things, it's like how she's not. I have no idea.
Right, and how
with all the killing going on in that show,
yeah,
it's like how do you just not? The woman that played Paris, who we know from the Marvel on and Netflix, she was on Which one?
She's in a bunch.
I can't think of her name, but
she's in a lot of shows.
Yeah. She was really good too.
Yeah.
I liked her a lot better in this one than I did in what the heck was it? Can't remember the name of the stupid show. I'm drawing a blank. Not Iron Fist.
Defenders?
Nope. What's his name?
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage.
It has to be Luke Cage.
I couldn't think of the name. But yeah, she was in Luke Cage, and in that one you hated her.
Yeah.
And she was a great character in that. I mean, she nailed the role in that one too, but this one here you really liked her too. Season two was even better than C, season one.
Season one.
Yeah. And so Apple TV is so well done. Everything is so well done. And that gets me to the next one, which I started finally, For All Mankind.
Yeah.
Season one. I started that and it's so good. Great. I know. And I came up after seeing episode one, and I wanted to ask Joe about the whole, how, like, this is all based, it's an alternate reality, you know, where the Russians land first, and what kind of ramifications that has. And I asked Joe, because Joe's seen, my son has seen the entire series so far.
Oh, okay.
He's halfway through season two, I think. Okay. And I said, did you notice in season one what happens with Chappaquiddick? And he goes, no, I didn't notice that. And he's like, I go, you didn't? I was like, because in season one, first episode, they, the Russians land first, and the country's so distraught, they have the news clipping of Ted Kennedy cancels his trip to a party at Chappaquiddick and decides to head to Washington to deal with this. And how are we going to deal with the Russians landing first? And then they overlay that with Nixon saying, oh, Ted Kennedy, you see what Teddy's doing? Teddy's going to come down here. This is going to be his gateway to the White House in 72, because he's going to say my brother or his brother, they ran the space program better under him than they did doing it under me. So now that's his way into the White House in 72. And I said to Joe, I go, it's such a small little snippet of the show, but I thought it was great because Chappaquiddick is where he ran off the road. And what's her name? The woman got killed. He ran away, and that killed all of his opportunity to ever. He basically did a hit and run. I mean, he took off, and now he could never be in real life. He could never be president. And they just dropped that into the show that if the Russians land first, he doesn't go to that party. He doesn't drive off the road. And it was just such a little snippet that I was like, oh, that's cool. And I talked to my buddy Derek about it. I go, does that play out? And he goes, actually, it does. There's more on that later on. But Joe, like, if you're younger, you have no idea about these real life stories that happen, that they're changing. So I'm really interested to pick up on more of that.
Yeah, that was good. And like season two, I think, was better than season one.
Oh, cool.
Very, very strong season two.
Cool.
Yeah.
Before I get to the last one I want to talk to you about, I wanted to ask you, are you watching any CW or any of The Flash Armageddon?
No.
Yeah.
No, not a bit of it.
I haven't yet.
I don't even know what's going on. I mean, I have no interest.
Oh, they had a five-episode huge crossover event that we used to be huge on, but for some reason, the CW right now, don't even care.
I don't care.
There's so much other great content.
To the last episode of Supergirl just to see how it ended. But I felt like since I hadn't watched it for a season and a half, I wouldn't know anything that was going on. So I just didn't even bother. So, no, I'm not watching any of it. Like I said, I watched Superman and Lois, and I did watch Stargirl. I watched season two of Stargirl, which I still actually kind of liked.
Okay.
Although I found out that it just dropped on HBO Max.
Yeah.
The whole season two. So I feel like if they're going to do that, next year I will wait. Because now you can binge the whole thing commercial-free on HBO Max all at once.
And
so I probably won't do the whole weekly CW, because I have to watch that on the CW app, which is not commercial-free.
No, so, and they're horrible commercials, too. It's usually like the same commercial every
single
time.
Same one every time. Ugh. So I feel like if I knew that going into it, that's what they're going to do, next year I'll wait and watch it on HBO Max. So
the last thing I have before we touch on a little bit of Hawkeye, Wheel of Time.
Yeah, I know you're going to slam Wheel of Time. I can tell because
hell? Horrible.
Well, see, I don't know what you're talking about.
Like it,
to be honest with you.
I didn't like it.
I know why I'm having trouble with it. I have no idea why you don't like it, because I'm actually starting to come around on it.
Okay.
Now that I'm getting into the characters a little bit,
That's the problem I have. For somebody that didn't read the books, I have no idea what's going on. And that's why I said, one of the things I said, and I didn't tell you when we were talking about Nine Perfect Strangers, at the end of episode one of Nine Perfect Strangers, I am very invested and know every single character. So when you get to episode two, you're like, okay, I know what this person does and they mean blah, 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 blah. In Wheel of Time, after the first episode, the only reason you know anything that is going on is because it's ripped from Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones. If you've seen any of those and then you go and watch Wheel of Time, you're like, what the hell? There was even, and every time they did something, and I'll tell you the part in episode three where I just shut it off and I said, I can't watch anymore. Maybe it gets better. And there was something in that I'll get to in a second. But leading up to it, they're running through, I can't remember what episode it was, but they're running through the forest away from the, what are almost like orcs. You know, they're running away from them. It led by what is, seems to be the, the
Nazgul.
Nazgul, yeah. And you're like, it seems like the same story. And what do? They come up to a giant wall. And I was like, that is just like Game of Thrones. It looked like the ice wall. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And then,
well, I will say that this was written way before Game of Thrones.
So, okay.
But definitely after Lord of the Rings.
Right.
I mean, I said that 3 weeks ago when I was talking about it, that yeah, it felt very reminiscent of Lord of the Rings. But the books are not, it felt watching this that it reminded me a lot of Lord of the Rings, but reading those books, it did not in any way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the story is not actually a ripoff of Lord of the Rings.
It feels it, and in episode three is where, that's where I shut it off, where the two guys are walking, and you probably remember the scene, and one guy has on a warmer coat, and it's cold, and he's like, can you give me that coat? Can we switch coats for a little bit? I'm freezing over here. And his reply to him is, no, they're going to write stories about you. And all I was thinking of is Sam and Frodo and him going, they're going to sing songs about it. And I was like, that's it. I mean, it felt to me, they're on a quest, and it was like literally line for line right from Lord of the Rings. And I was like, done. And I shut it off right mid show. And I'm like, but I think a lot of that is I am not invested in any of these characters. And then after the fact, I grabbed a review. Guy loves the show, but he says, if you haven't read the books, he goes, I don't think you're going to know what's going on here. And he had a great comparison to Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones. He said, in Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones, these are big, expansive, like, universes, right? And they're going on these quests. But what do they all start out with? A map. Both those shows, it's in the opening credits of Game of Thrones, right? And they show
in the opening of Lord of the Rings, too.
Right, the opening scene of Lord of the Rings, they show the map and everything. So it gives you a scope. It gives you an idea on what's going on here. I am 2.5, almost 3 episodes into this. I have no idea what they're doing, except I know they're going to a white tower. But that's a lot of time wasted where I'm like, I'm not invested in the characters. I don't know if I should like them, not like them. It didn't grab me. And I felt like it did a really poor job of it.
That's because it's funny, because now I feel like I'm in a position to try to defend it when I'm not even sure if I like it. But but we have very different reasons. Like,
right.
I'm not bumping into any of the stuff you're saying.
Well, because like, you've read the books.
Yeah, my real criticism of the show was the casting of the characters and, you know, some of the changes they've made to the show. Like, for instance, now you've seen the show. You've seen the first 3 episodes at least. In episode 1, they have that whole scene with Perrin where he kills his wife with an axe. Like, he was never married in the book. Like, that never took place. There was no scene in the book, anything like that. And now, throughout this show, this character is, like, anguished by this event that was completely made up for the show. And I don't understand why that was put into the show. You know what I mean? Like, why does that have to be? Like, that made no sense to me. So there's little things like that they're doing that I don't understand. But, yeah, like I said, I think we have, like, you know, again, we have very different criticisms.
I don't even feel like he's that anguished. He's not.
Well, he definitely is in episode 4 and 5. Like, it comes up a lot.
Right. But it took four or five episodes to get to what he did in episode 1 and to have, because at this point, I don't feel like that's a big thing for him. It's like he killed his wife. They came to the center of the town and said, "All right, we all got to leave. Otherwise, everybody's going to be killed because they're not going to stop. All right, let's go." He just killed his wife. And it's like, and we don't, and like you're saying, well, in episode 4, he's really upset. That's a long time.
Well, it is, but again, it's also not a show about Perrin specifically. Like, other things are going on.
But that's what I'm saying. By episode 3, you'd think I'd know what the show's about, and I don't. Yeah. And it's like, this did not grab me. And I do like Lord of the Rings. I like Game of Thrones.
Well, like I said, that's fine. Like, you don't have to like it.
I know.
Like I said, I'm not even sure if I will end up liking it, although I feel like I'm coming around on it. Because the characters are starting to, like, they're just starting to grow on me, you know?
Right.
Like, as much as, which I figured would happen, you know, as much as I wasn't seeing them in the beginning, you know, now 5 episodes into it, I'm beginning to see, you know, Egwene as Egwene and, you know, Nynaeve as Nynaeve, even though in the books they don't, you know, that's not who they are.
Right.
So I don't know. Like, I felt like after this week's episode, I was kind of, like I said, I was starting to come around on it. I mean, I definitely see the Lord of the Rings similarities here. I mean, even to the point where, you know, Matt pulls up the cursed dagger, which is just the One Ring, right? Like, that's all it is. You know, he's being corrupted by the dagger, just like Frodo's corrupted by the One Ring. But I don't know. Like I said, it doesn't play out that way in the book. Like I said, reading those books, it does not feel Lord of the Rings at all.
Right.
You know, like, there's so much that goes around those events through the course of 13 books that, you know, just don't make it feel like Lord of the Rings in any way. But I mean, I get it, because I said the same thing after watching the first 3 episodes. I was like, this is very Lord of the Rings. You know, we're all just walking. We're all doing the thing. You know, Moraine is Gandalf. Like, everything is just...
Exactly.
You know, is just there. But, you know, other thing, like, again, there's changes.
They get
like
split up, and just like in Lord of the Rings. I mean, it's just...
Right.
I feel like... And isn't Amazon doing the Lord of the Rings show as well?
They are.
So you're like, all right. It looks like they already started.
Right. Like, I mean, it's just pollinating.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, they're going to be doing CW crossovers by season 3.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And then when they had that one line in episode 3 that, like I said, I was just like, oh my God, that's all right. Plus the other thing to me is I'm watching For All Mankind. You're watching all of these, your Invasion, you're watching all these other shows on Apple TV that are so high quality, both visually and audibly. I mean, Wheel of Time has good audio, but I didn't think the picture wasn't very good. I didn't think the picture was... Yeah, I didn't think the picture was...
Oh, because I would say, I don't think that's a criticism at all. I think the sound is...
It's not as good as, picture like, Apple TV.
Well,
the picture, anyways. The sound is good.
Well, because I don't know if they're doing Dolby Vision. Like, I don't think it's in Dolby Vision.
Yeah, you don't have to do Dolby Vision to have a good picture.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not horrible. I'm just saying, it's just when you're
like, it's very expansive.
But the quality,
there's definitely money spent on, like, there's money spent.
Yeah, but
on
they
that
spent
production.
It on they spent it on landscape shots and these beautiful things. Like, did everything Peter Jackson did visually. They did nothing he did, you know, writing wise. Like, they're going for the look, and then the story. Like I said, I'm like, after one episode of 9 Perfect Strangers, I'm like, yes, I know what, I want to see where this, I don't know what's going to happen, but I like these characters. 3 episodes of Wheel of Time, and I'm like, I don't even know who these people are.
Yeah.
Like, or what they're doing. They're going to a white tower. Why? And they don't even know who they are. That's the one thing I know. One of them's it, but they don't know who. I'm like... Like, okay.
Well, they don't yet. Yeah, they don't
yet.
They don't. That's the thing. That's,
right. That's part of
me being... Well, but that's also part of me having read the books, because I know who it is.
And, oh, really?
You know, I know who the dragon is. I've read the books.
Yeah.
No, well, it doesn't sound like you're going to go back to it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But
I might, but I don't know.
But that was another major change from the book, because this will narrow it down to half for you. In the book, the dragon is a male. Like, there is no question. Like, the dragon cannot be a female. Like, it is very well established in the book that the dragon is a male character. So out of the five that are traveling, I just knocked three of them off the list for you.
But here's the thing. I didn't care. I don't even know what it means. You'd think at this point you would have, you've got these people on a quest to find out which one's which, right? I don't even care what it means. They haven't explained to you. You don't even care who gets it. I have no idea. You know what?
But that's come up in the story. They've made it pretty clear that the dragon is the only one that can defeat the Dark One. Like, he's basically the chosen one. Like,
yeah, but what I'm saying is you don't care who gets it. You're not rooting one way or another, so they have
I don't think you're supposed to. Like, yeah, I don't think they're trying to make you root one way or the other for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At this point. Like, I think they're trying to purposely leave it ambiguous so you think it could be any one of the five of them.
Right.
I don't, like I said, I don't think. And now, again, unless they just pull a complete 180 in this show.
Which they may.
It could end up not being. But then, to me, then you have to really rewrite the whole. Like, I don't think that could.
In this day and age, they'll rewrite anything.
Yeah. So.
My quote, which came from C, by the way. I forgot to drop it in there, but I loved it. And I happen to see, and it'll take us into the segue quickly. We can talk, because I got to get going. But. We'll talk about Hawkeye. So I happened to watch the final episode of C right before, and this was a couple weeks ago, right before the episode of Hawkeye, where I think it was episode 3, where he just goes off. And that's where we really got to see probably some of the best Hawkeye action, where when he fell into the pool of, balls. Like the the archery in that episode was better than anything in all of the MCU. Anything he's done in the MCU was fantastic, right? But right before that, I had literally just finished watching the final episode of season 1 of C, and it's where he's fighting. Baba Voss is fighting at the end against. The entire thing.
Jorah Morrell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who can see? And I guess he like fires a gun or he cocks a gun and he goes, "You know what I got?" Whatever he says, and Baba Voss is sitting there and he goes, he's blind. And he's like, his quote was, "I know what a gun is. It's a weapon of choice for men with no balls."
Yeah.
And I love that because I've always felt like that about guns. Like, I like guns. I appreciate guns. But I'm always like, it's just not. I mean, to be able to do what you can do with a gun from a distance, I'm like, I like it better.
Very up close and personal.
No. And even archery is a little more personal.
Unless you have a bayonet at the end, then it's personal.
Then it's personal. But yeah, it's I just love that. And then you go right into where I love archery. And you probably the best Hawkeye that we've ever seen. The best Hawkeye stunts we've ever seen. It was fantastic. Spoiler free.
I will say, like, we talked 2 weeks ago about the first two episodes and how I felt like Hawkeye was good, not great, middle of the road kind of Marvel. It definitely upticked from there. Like, I think episodes 3 and 4 really lifted it another level for me. Where, again, it's probably not WandaVision for me still. But I could see myself at the end of the day liking it more than Falcon Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe like it more than Loki, although I still don't think it will be as important as Loki.
Who knows?
When it comes to what it does story-wise. I can't imagine this show introduces anything as important as the multiverse. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what Loki did, like, as a show for the MCU was pretty special, but the show itself overall, like, I probably will like this better than Loki as well. So it's actually, like I said, I think it ticked up to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And now we're just like, you know, balls to the wall, right? Like we've got Yelena coming in episode, like
yeah,
the crap's going to hit the fan in episode 5 for sure. And then we're done. Like we got one left after that. So
I know. And
it just feels like we just blew right through this show. Like I don't remember Falcon Winter Soldier feeling like it went by so fast.
That's what I mean.
Right. This show feels like it just started and it's already over.
Even the episodes feel like that when they end. Yeah. You're just like, oh my God, that was so fast.
I think the chemistry with the two of them is fantastic.
It's really good.
I really like her as a character. I'm excited to see what they do with her going forward. Super happy to see Yelena back.
I'm excited for more Jeremy Renner. I think he's doing such a good job as Hawkeye and doing the whole being Clint, really, and just being the quiet. That's who he's supposed to be, right? Like she's trying to get him. It's marketing. And he's all like, no. He's like, at one point, doesn't he say something like, I'm an assassin. Yeah, I'm supposed to be quiet.
Right.
I'm supposed to be advertising.
Yeah. Like, not supposed to be recognized.
I'm supposed to blend in.
Yeah.
So, didn't she draw him in the costume? Like, have to draw, and he goes, I'm not wearing that.
Yeah.
But which it's like, it's so
terrible
great.
Terrible drawing. But,
yeah, I know. But it's so great, like him being Clint, being like that. And there was another one, and I know we're trying to spoiler free, but did you notice there was another scene where somebody asked him, like, are you married? And he just stared at them because he doesn't give out any information. He doesn't give out anything like that. And I thought it was very subtle because something happened where he didn't have to answer and the things went on, but he just sat there and it was just like, no, he'll never
give out
answer.
My personal life. Well, most of the Avengers didn't know he had a wife and family.
Exactly.
Till like three movies in. You know?
Right. So. Exactly. And, it's, the other one was, what's your favorite shot? And he said, the shot I never took.
The one I didn't take.
Which
was
awesome.
Awesome.
We don't have to tell the story, but it's a great
story. But again, more elaboration on Budapest, you know?
Yes. Yes. And it was,
kind of the other side of the story from the Black Widow movie.
Right.
Because she sets up, Nat sets up that story in that movie, and then they kind of bring it home in this show.
Right.
So.
Well, it would have been set up in the Avengers, too. Somewhere along the line, she said the same thing that she says in
that. Well, they talked a lot about Budapest multiple times as a running gag. We both remember that very differently. But you didn't get any details until the Black Widow movie is really kind of where they started to give details about what actually happened.
Well, it was both things were in Avengers at some point in the MCU, Budapest, and that he was sent to take her out and he made a different call. That was in the MCU. What we didn't know is Budapest was that.
Right.
That's the thing we didn't know. And that's what we found out in Black Widow. So, it's, I'm really looking forward to, today, John. Episode 5. Until right now. And then, next week is so much to get to. We got, we got Spider-Man. We got Matrix next week. And then we have Book of Boba. That starts the
like
week
two
after.
Weeks. Yeah, 29th. Right. And we have
Cobra Kai. Jen and I are already planning
or whatever.
Our New Year's
Day marathon.
Well,
for me, it's
marathon.
New Year's Day. Yeah, for me, it's New Year's Day.
Because it drops on the 31st, but we'll wait till New Year's Day. Just like last year, binge it.
Yep.
Unless they drop it early, like they did. Remember last year, they dropped it a week early.
Yes, last year, because New Year's Day was early last year, because it wasn't supposed to come.
That was a surprise for us.
Like the 8th or something.
So, we say we want surprises. So.
Yeah. Well, if they drop it any earlier, it'll be Christmas and probably won't have time to watch it anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So. All right. Is that it? Because I got to get going.
Yeah. That's it.
All righty. That's quite the show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, maybe with some... Well, we'll definitely be talking Spider-Man No Way Home. We're going to do Kryptonite on that, and I will have time. I'm skating next week, but not until 10:30 next week, so I'll have all the time in the world to talk Spider-Man No Way Home. So,
cool.
Having fun. So, We'll see everybody next week. Have a great week, everybody. Get your questions, comments, and everything. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at @brightside_chat, or tweet directly at John. He will answer you if it's about Doctor Who at Arkham Depends. Comics with an X.
Yeah.
But until then, have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you then.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.